up again. Computer class, you tell me your name. It's now the time.
Welcome, everybody, to yet another special edition of the Real Mentors Podcast. So we talk movies, TV, and, of course, have some fun along the way, because otherwise, what's the point? Today, of course, we're continuing our cinematic decade retrospective, if you will. We're up to the 2000s. We have the 80s and the 90s decades, of course, great decades of movies, which we have up for your listening pleasure, of course. To help me do this, I'm alone in this kitchen. I got, of course, my sous chef, as always, the man beast himself, the head of the girlslife.com studios, Mr. Mike Rose.
At least I'm not the pastry chef this time.
Nah, speaking of pastry chef, see what we do have? Although he has been promoted to pastry chef, he's still washing dishes and doing the salad crap. We have, of course, joining us live over the phone by Houston, Texas, Chewy himself. How you doing, big guy?
Greetings and salutations, gentlemen. Ready for another exciting episode.
Let's do this. Now, before we get to the 2000s, of course, we always like to touch on the big releases. This is the summertime. We're still, and I think, one of the best months I've seen in movies in a long time. But let's start off with, I think we've all seen it. Most of you guys, this movie made $117 million. So most of the folks probably saw it out there. And warning, we're going to talk about Spider-Man for like 5-10 minutes. Probably 10 minutes. We're going to get into heavy spoilers. This is a spoilerific edition here.
So put your Spider-Man. Fingers in your ears for the next 10 minutes.
Exactly. If you haven't seen it yet, fast forward. You can do that. Or you can fast forward 10 minutes. You know, fast forward 10 minutes and, you know, you listen to us after the fact. So let's get into it. We'll start with the man beast is, I know my thoughts. I have my review up on YouTube. Obviously, I did enjoy the movie a lot. It was very entertaining. Really liked it. We'll get into more details in a second. But Mike, overall, what were your thoughts about Spider-Man?
I thought it was a good movie. Good, not great. Out of my 5-star rating system, I give it a. I really was, when I left the movie, I was feeling 4 out of 5. But now I think I'm in on further review. Not to sound like. Like one of those crappy NFL referees, but I'm going to go like 3.5. There's a lot of things I want to talk about that I have issue with. However, I will say this. It is better than Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, and I agree with you on that point as far as that. Before we get to specifics, Chewy, what do you you saw it recently? I know you had a little date night with the missus, of course.
No,
overall thoughts?
Family movie night.
Oh, whatever. Fair enough.
We'll have date night for 8, but this was family movie night.
Good choice. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it was, I enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought it was fun. Like I said, if I go there for my 2.5 hours and walk over at the small and I'm entertained, for me, it's a good movie.
Fair enough. Let's start with the positives. Which we start with you. What stood out for you as far as this one?
I think the obviously this is our third or our fourth iteration of Spider-Man.
Third, I guess. It felt like four.
Well, third in the movies, but we've had a fair number of TV iterations.
Yeah,
fair enough. And whatnot, going back to the Electric Company and back in the Happy.
I love that Spider-Man too for some reason.
Or the 70s Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like that one too. I gotta say.
But I think the portrayal was spot on. The enthusiasm that Tom Holland displayed, you know, hey, I'm a superhero. I can do all these things. Very, very kid-like. Very, very, very much how if we had superpowers, how we would react and act. Like I said, it had the right tone. The villain, if you want to call him that, I don't think he's completely a villain, but Michael Keaton's portrayal of Adrian Toomes, aka Vulture. Was very good. I didn't see it as being lacking like we've seen in some of the other Marvel movies. They played it safe, but you know I didn't care. I thought overall, like I said, I enjoyed it and very enjoyable. For me, it's a very, very good movie and one that I'll definitely see over and over again.
Yeah, I agree with you on most of those points. We'll focus on Keaton in a second. Mike, I want to get just what you really liked about the movie first, Mike.
Okay, a couple things that I thought were excellent about the movie. I felt like it kind of exposed him as a misreading situations. That's what Spidey's all about. I mean, if you read the book, the comics growing up like I did, that was really Spider. That was Spidey, you know?
No, I agree. Did you like, I know you had issues with Tom Holland on Civil War.
His voice still bugged me.
It still bugged
me. It's too high. But you know what? I got used to it. I'm good with it. I don't have a... That really wasn't anything for me to get We'll right. talk about the negatives yeah. when we get to the negatives. I felt like the story was a lot better than Guardians of the Galaxy because you had a beginning, middle, and an ending.
Yes, yeah, agree.
There were things about the story that were wonky and I didn't like. We'll talk about that later. As far as great stuff goes, that was great. I thought the kid Ned was a slick at being his kind of microchip.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, yeah.
was yeah. to me was kind of a cool thing, and I'd like to see that kid come back and do that kind of thing for him again.
I'm sure he will.
So you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff about the. I didn't like the faux Mary Jane and the Michelle Jane, which bothered me a little bit. You know, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we'll get to in a second.
But
yeah,
I did
yeah.
think the supporting cast was really good. That's really where I was going when I right, said right. the supporting cast.
I guess, and I think. Like you're right, Chewie mentioned the tone. The tone was spot on. The humor was really good.
Right.
And the humor worked. Right. You know, oh, organic.
The music was excellent.
Music, yes.
Was, yeah. I loved yeah. the 80s yeah. vibe that the yeah. music had there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I loved that they played the original TV Spider-Man
that was cool.
theme in the beginning.
yeah.
And it was all yeah. kind of John Williams out, which yeah. was cool.
Yeah.
I loved the Ramones at the end of the mm-hmm. end of the movie before the mid-credits break. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really good. I thought the soundtrack was excellent.
No, like I said, it was really. I mean, I think it's one of the better Marvel movies. The narrative was a lot better. It was a more clean story. It was more small scale because we'll be kind of getting used to this big, broad story right, leading right. up to Avengers. This one felt like almost not isolated completely, but it felt like a Spider-Man story. It wasn't inundated. Yeah, Iron Man in it.
Yeah, right. yeah get it. It wasn't. They weren't trying to save the world. From
exactly.
Just I also small. Felt like we got okay. I'm personally sick of seeing Robert Downey Jr. in movies. That's
man,
fine. No,
it's just,
let me finish what I'm saying, bro. I felt like we got enough of him in this. It wasn't
oh,
too,
yeah.
it wasn't over seen. There wasn't overkill.
Yeah.
No. I felt like he was funny-ish. It wasn't all the jokey. Like Civil War, in my opinion, it was just over. He was a little overdone. It was good. I like that. I'm not going to let that be a negative. I thought that was the use of him was good in the movie.
No, it was well done. It made sense. It wasn't forced. And they weren't trying to introduce you to what's going on in the next Avengers coming up. It was just a Spider-Man standalone
right,
movie.
I think one of my, well, let me talk about Keaton. Cause I think that Keaton did a wonderful job. I don't think that there was enough Keaton in the movie.
Yes, that was my
gripe. I also thought his crew could have been better. I thought that them just a guy that has a glove that glows in the dark, to me, or can hit people real hard, doesn't make a supervillain. Where he's got a whole damn uniform with the helmet and the whole nine yards, which I loved his whole thing right there.
It looked really cool.
Right. Yeah. I felt like it was done well.
This goes back to my point where I don't think he is a villain in the traditional sense. He's not trying to conquer the world. He's just trying to fight.
Oh, no, he's not. I mean, I guess he's trying
to make money illegally.
Yeah,
so he's
I mean, he's a villain, he's not like a typical villain we see. He's not larger than life and all that, which I appreciate. But I think, like when I mentioned my reviews, like I thought Keaton was really good. He just didn't enough meat on the bone. He was a little underused, which is a shame because Keaton is great. And that one scene in the taxi cab is awesome.
Right.
When he's talking to him.
Oh, my God.
Right, he was intense.
That was really good.
That's how he rolls in every role that he does.
I agree.
Whether you're talking about Mr. Mom or whatever. He's got this kind of intensity to him. That's why I thought he was a great Batman, by the way.
I agree. Yeah.
I just felt like he had an intensity to him.
He did.
And he was good. My only thing, the only beef that I have... I'm going to say that I felt like we got into this thing with Marvel villains where the villains aren't really villains or they're villains because of this or because of that.
Right.
Why can't people be evil for the sake of being evil? Why aren't there just bad bleeping people in the world? Right?
And that's always been Marvel's thing. And Chewie, you mentioned it. He wasn't really a villain.
In the context of the film, I don't mind in this context.
No, it worked. You're right.
It's not a superhero against the world, against the universe, against Thanos. It's a local guy. It's finding his way with all these new powers, and they introduce someone who's complex, who's not black or white. It's gray. And right. More often than not, it is gray. It's not always. It's not.
Oh, I know. Oh, I agree.
He's not trying to beat Hitler. I mean, no, this is no,
but
guy. This is.
But at the end of the day, Chewie, this is a comic book movie. It's not a real life movie, right? So we need our heroes and our villains.
It's not. I mean, it's based on a comic book, but the story is entertaining regardless if it's comic or not. I mean,
well, I'm not saying it's not entertaining.
I'm not a comic book guy. I don't pick up comic books. I could care less about comic books, to be honest with you. I want to be entertained, and if it has a character that I'm familiar with or not, if it's entertaining and it's a good story and a villain is realistic and believable, that's good enough for me.
I like the great thing, and. But the problem, again, with me, and I'm not hating on Keaton. I liked it, but overall,
this has nothing to do with Keaton.
No. I liked the great part of it. They just sort of explored it a little bit more and got a little more into it. Yeah. You know,
too much crap in Marvel movies has to fit together nicely, and that's another thing that pisses me off. Is why is it that he's got to fold into being the father of this girl that Peter has a crush on in his school? That was stupid, in my opinion.
That was lazy.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Sorry, kids.
That was lazy. That was lazy. But, I agree with you. It was lazy.
That was that one. And the other thing that bothered me was all the... I thought that the Captain America videos in the school were funny. I enjoyed that.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
But I don't like how everything kind of neatly folded into Civil War. I thought that was a little too Kevin Feige poking fanboys in the face with that crap. I just didn't like that, okay? And that's one of the things I have problems with Marvel with. They try to be too in. They try to be too cute. Make me a good movie. Put me a movie that I can sit down from front to back and get blown away. I haven't gotten that yet from Marvel.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
You've been blown away by a movie?
Yeah, Captain America 2 blew me away, the second one.
I thought Winter Soldier. Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I'll backtrack on that.
Maybe Iron Man 1. It's possible, but they made really good movies. The thing is, I think it's more expectation. I think by now, this is the 15, 16, whatever movie that by now, I lost count. You know what you're going to get. You know, I go to Mickey D's, my food's going to be greasy and nasty, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Right.
I'm not going to expect, you know, walking to Mickey D's or then Big Mac getting a Morton steak. And I think if you go into expectation, right, as long as entertaining, Marvel gives you what they always do, entertaining, good characters,
right. But
funny.
No, I'm just saying,
you know,
there's,
fine.
There's a
not,
lot. There was
I know, a, I know I'm not going to be disappointed. You know, I know what I'm getting, and I'm, that's what I'm paying for. Yeah. And
All I'm saying is there's a lot more potential there.
Oh, I agree. And I'm with you there. I wish they would give us more. But as long as they entertain, I let it go. It's a complaint. It's always going to be a complaint until they finally give us what I want. But it doesn't detract from, hey, look, Spider-Man was good. It was entertaining.
At least we didn't get the crappy Electro and Rhino from the last movie.
No, exactly.
Okay?
It was a huge, vastly way improvement over the second Amazing Spider-Man 2. And it was good. I mean, the only thing that story-wise was really good, the only thing that bothered me was, maybe it's just going to be just me, that in Iron Man, whatever, Tony Stark is reluctant to give Tom Holland a chance, Spider-Man a chance to be part of an Avenger. I'm thinking, okay, so he recruits the kid. He learns all about him. He brings him on.
And then he says no.
Yeah, he's good enough to fight against other powerful, badass Avengers, but now he's not good enough anymore. And if you hire me to do a job, you hire me, and I do it well, and all of a sudden, I don't want to hire you.
Fired,
I was like, okay. And I get Tom Holland trying to impress him.
You can look at it this way. It's one thing to take on, you know, another Avenger who, you know, they're not allowed to kill each other versus trying to take on a true villain.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
another thing came to my mind while you were talking.
Okay, it's not destroying the movie. It's just a small thing that bothered me. Like I said, it's a little thing. It's a small thing. It's not a big deal. It really
However, Happy Hogan. There was too much Happy Hogan in this movie.
I was fine with that. I was happy.
I was glad to see him back in there.
Yeah. Give him some love. He doesn't get enough love. Give him some love. And the last thing before we send off, we'll go to final thoughts on it was. I'm all about, you know, diversity in movies. But man, they seem like they were just overdoing it with the diversity in terms of the cast. Yeah. Is it just me?
Flash Thompson.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I was like, and Carter MJ, the other girl. I mean, I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's how I said.
It's like they went all the way extreme to the other side of getting diverse, which I like. But
one last thing that bugged me. Why does a suit have to be all computerized?
I'm fine with it. I was actually fine with that.
But Karen, Really?
No, I was okay. I thought that was funny. I thought it was cool. I was a nice little update. Yeah, because I mean, Tony Stark made this suit. Like, if Tom Holland made this suit like that, I'd be like, okay. But Iron Man made it. It makes sense because that's what he does.
Iron Man suit.
Yeah, it's an Iron Man suit designed for. So I'm fine with that. I thought that was cool. I thought that was pretty cool. It's a nice little nice change and touch to the norm that we're used to seeing from Spider-Man. His basic suit.
Bring it to the current.
Okay, so I'm just a big
driver. Yeah. Appease the millennials out there. I get it.
Yeah.
But I had a problem with that. But like I said, overall, I thought for entertainment purposes, it was a home run. Getting Spider-Man back to where Spider-Man should be. I think Tom Holland, I think he's perfect for Spider-Man. He really is, compared to Garfield and Maguire.
I thought Maguire was okay.
You didn't get emo Peter Parker here. But
the first two Spider-Man Maguires were pretty good.
Oh, they were good. And I still think the second one's better than this one.
I never liked James Franco. Still don't like James Franco.
Nah, James Franco's terrible.
And I thought he was awful
in those movies, yeah. Awesome. But it was good. Marvel, they did a great job. This is what they do. And I'm excited for the next Spider-Man, see what they do with it. You know what? Hey, kudos to them. Not a bad win. And again, it has been on Guardians, and it's one of their... I'll put them in the upper half of the Marvel movies overall.
Yeah.
Easily.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, you know, we got I assume we'll talk about the next huge movie, Apes, which I've seen, which I really, 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 really liked.
Did you like that better than Spider-Man?
Yes, I thought it was better than Spider-Man. Just off the record. I mean, on record here. But you know, you're going to watch it, Chewy. Mike, I'm assuming you're watching it soon.
Yes.
Whatever. So we'll talk about that next
Friday.
Episode. Okay, so we'll talk about it.
I got Friday night tickets.
Okay, well, there you go. It's great. But we'll get into detail, obviously, next week. But let's move on. Let's get into our 2000s era here. Of course, now, which is a little more familiar territory for the millennials, the youngins out there.
Youngins.
Who aren't used to the 90s and 80s flicks like we are.
You know,
it's an interesting decade. Obviously, we said goodbye to Clinton. You know, we welcomed in Bush, another Bush. We had, for whatever, good or bad. We had, of course, Obama elected, which is like culturally a significant, event, for whatever it's worth. Obviously we had 9/11, that's the day those are old enough to remember.
Yep.
We all have that. I know where I was at the exact time, when that happened story.
Yep.
Tragic. And that's affected our daily lives currently. We had the global recession, of course, that occurred, and that affects everybody, of course. And it wasn't all that bad, although there was the one what the fudge moment of the 2000s. Pluto is no longer a planet. Come on, man. He spent all those years memorizing that, and now they tell us it's not a planet. So whatever. But again, and we also have BK, who introduced us to the chicken fries.
How about those mac and cheese fries?
The culinary is taken to a whole new level. Thanks to the fast food industry. Yeah, we had the smartphones building off the technology we talked about in the 90s.
Yep.
So of course, smartphones led to the introduction of the social media age.
Right.
It's not as expansive as it is now, but obviously Facebook, MySpace came out in that decade. Which led to the Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram. Which is a big deal. Obviously, it's all about social media nowadays. But we saw the rise of it in that era. It's worth mentioning on the TV side, because we talk TV all the time.
Yep.
And we've touched on this before, but this is the beginning of the TV renaissance, the great age of television we are now.
Yes.
I think we talked about the 90s was the last decade, we're dominated by the sitcoms. That kind of went away in the 2000s. It became more like mockumentaries, The Office and Parks and Rec and
like
stuff
like that.
Like
a show like The Shield,
We have HBO, starting with Sopranos and The Wire and whatnot. But yeah, things like The Shield, which obviously the floodgates are open based on that success. Because I think, now we had every network wanted to be FX and TNT and TBS, USA, AMC, which primarily did syndication and movies. Now they all wanted original programming. And what I always said, competition brings the best out of everybody.
It's funny, when FX first came out, their flagship show was that horrible Son of the Beach show.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Yeah.
And it was replaced. It was actually canceled and replaced by The Shield.
Yeah, thank God.
And that changed the course of that channel forever.
Of course, and I think every channel, because I think everybody started, it's a copycat, like football, they say it's a copycat league, same thing in TV.
But I mean, you had like The Wire on HBO.
But HBO's a little bit different because HBO wasn't a true competitor to regular cable networks TV.
At
that time, because it was subscription-based and people weren't paying for that.
Right.
Now it's a different story, Game of Thrones and what have you, but back then, like I said, those secondary cable channels didn't compete with ABC, NBC. Now they all became direct competitors. Those networks didn't up their game, Now, obviously, now, and which led obviously.
See, and a lot of those networks like USA have fallen by the wayside.
The struggling Irish.
USA member tried to do that thing with Burn Notice and a couple other
shows.
They tried
after FX was successful with
them. FX already had dusted everybody and the attention wasn't there.
Of course. But they're all doing it. And of course, we're talking about great. I mean, FX gave us great, not just good shows, great shows.
Right.
AMC gave us great shows. I mean, you know, HBO, it wasn't just like, okay, they were really, really great shows. And it became more cinematic style, more single storylines, the thread throughout the season, shorter season instead of what we used to, 20 episodes, 25 episodes, where it's really like, you know, back in the day at ER and Hillshire Blues.
They start that open-ended, you were tuning in for the episode, but not the overall story.
Exactly. You could watch them in different order if you wanted to. That's how it worked back then.
I think what happened to improve the quality of TV is the closing down the bracketing of seasons to make them at like 10 or 13 episodes.
Yeah. Of course.
I think when you talk about a 24-season episode, it's just impossible to run a decent storyline. And you'll see in shows like Gotham is severely suffering from having to come up with content that lasts that long.
Yeah, a lot of filler. And like I said, and the show came out with 13 episodes, and that was the first of its kind. And because you can do a nice, concise story.
Everybody's like, why would anybody just watch a show for 13 episodes? Why would anybody want to watch a show for 24 episodes?
Exactly. And it makes sense now. Yeah, exactly. And really, in the 2000s where the era introduces that, and we're all the better for it. And of course, we got Netflix, all that stuff that came
out. But even shows that are still 24 episode arcs now have a mid-season break where it's really two mini seasons, not a full season.
Exactly. And they have to.
So
it's hard to sustain a storyline for that many episodes.
It's just hard to sustain, audience for that.
Well, these days, yes. Yeah. Because there's too much competition.
Right.
You know, I can watch 8,000 things on other channels.
The competition is because they're making such quality
products. Of course, yeah.
It's not because there's just a bunch of, you know,
a tide raises all ships kind of thing.
Right.
The tide. So it's, you know, the better shows they are, everyone's like, I got to compete with that show. You know, it's just the way it is. So, but in terms of movies, we'll get into that now. Obviously, you know, every era kind of defined it, whether it be the X's in the 80s, the age of technology in the 90s. This year, I think it's pretty clear, this decade anyway, that it was the age of the superhero genre. This was the emergence of what we now have as the dominating genre in cinema right now, of course. It's the big movies. We just talked about Spider-Man, for example. We'll continue to talk about the superhero movies. There's like 8 next year. There was 6 this year, the most we've ever seen. And it started back in the 2000s. That was the movement. Although we had, you know, there was a sprinkled into Superman in the 70s and 80s and the Batmans as well. It was really just Batman and Superman who were the two most iconic characters, but we never really got anything else. They tried with Chrome, Blade here and there, but they were small. They didn't succeed. But, you know, obviously, and they started right off the bat. 2000, we had the X-Men. You know, I think that was the first one that kind of opened the floodgates where it was a property not everybody was familiar with. This isn't Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. This was the geeks knew what it was, obviously, those hardcore comic book fans and the fans of the cartoons when they were younger in the 90s. But X-Men was the one no one really knew about. It opened like $50 million, which 2000 is a pretty big number. And it proved to the studios, if you do it right, you can make a serious movie and bank on it and build off these properties that no one knows exists. And that from there, it was a slew, of course, of superhero movies leading up to, you know, the shared universes and Marvels and DCs and whatever. But that was the one. That was the one I kind of launched everything. And now we're all about that. And I think what helped, besides the fact that you can be successful making those kind of movies, is that the lines blurred between what was acceptable in the world of geekdom into mainstream. You know, just Star Wars was the only thing that kind of walked both sides of the fence, but now reading comic books wasn't considered quote-unquote geek. It wasn't, you were an outcast because you liked to read Spider-Man or whatever the case is. Younger kids started getting more into it because of the movies, and now, so I think that's why part of the reason those movies succeed, because now they're more acceptable.
Right, and why the comic cons are so huge.
They're huge, of course. Not everybody wants to be a part of it. All the studios are a part of it. So, but those, I mean, that was the era. And of course, you know, there were so many. I mean, you know, we had X-Men, we had X2, which is at the time one of the best ones ever made. I mean, we had a whoa, okay. I guess someone disagrees with the X2 comment. But we had a... Oh, hello. Damn, chewing his damn dog. We had, of course, Spider-Man. Sam Raimi came on board. You know, the third one notwithstanding, but we had Spider-Man 1 and 2, which were really, really good. No, yeah, we got emo Peter Parker, but what are you gonna do? We had Iron Man, of course, the beginning of the MCU. Right. Watchmen, Sin City, V for Vendetta, 300.
The Batman trilogy,
which was, I thought,
the best of all of them. Yeah, yeah.
Without even discussion.
It's not the Batman trilogy, because the Batman trilogy...
Well, it was Batman Begins and Dark Knight, which might be
one of the best movies of the decade, my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I think it is. Well, not it's not its best. I said one of. Yeah, you're right. It's one of the best movies, superhero.
I'm not talking about just superhero. I'm talking about overall.
Yeah, I agree. It's the best superhero one, one of the top...
It's the best superhero movie of that decade.
And it's still the best superhero movie right now. Because I think what that did is it gave legitimacy to the genre, because we obviously had, you know, it gave us a more grounded tone, a more serious tone, and people could take those movies seriously now. I mean, Ledger won an Oscar for that, which was, you know, obviously we had Jack Nicholson back in the day, but that was almost a fluke, but now it became, okay, now it's the norm. And
He was nominated for an Oscar.
Ledger won. Yeah. Posthumously, he won the Oscar. Yeah, absolutely.
I believe.
But that gave legitimacy to it, and it kind of changed the game that everyone wanted to do like a darker version of a superhero movie and all that, of course. And we know it's a copycat league we talked about. But now the superhero became a genre like drama and action. It's a superhero one. It's no longer something cast aside or whatever. You get a sprinkled in every couple of every few years. And I think it took over, as we talk about, I mean, when I was looking at action movies, there weren't that many because there were so many that were in the comic book realm. But they weren't all good.
No.
They were not good.
Most definitely not.
Daredevil. X2.
Oh, X3.
I had X3. I had Daredevil, of course.
Elektra.
Elektra was another. Waste of Space. Extraordinary Gentlemen, which might be the worst of the decade, for Christ's sake. Fantastic Four.
That's not worse than Elektra.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
It's pretty bad, but it's not so worse than Elektra.
It's so bad. That retired Sean Connery, that's how bad the movie was, man. Come on. That's pretty bad. Because I had no expectations for Elektra. You know what I mean?
Right, but it was terrible.
At least League had a great premise behind it, which could have really worked. But you know what? I would say this. I'll tie, but not with Elektra, but with Catwoman.
Catwoman is terrible.
And you can toss in terrible. You can toss in Ghost Rider in there if you want. Wolverine Origins. I mean, those are some real shitty fucking movies.
Was Wolverine Origins part of in that?
Yeah, in that decade. Yeah. I think it was like 09. If I'm not mistaken.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was god awful. But for the most part, they were great. And even I even mentioned Unbreakable, which is comic book. Not an original property, but it's a Buck comic book. It's a fantastic movie. I love that movie. But that's what we enjoy now. That has led to that. And I think and that era, which started in the 2000s, and this continues now. Let's face it.
Looking through the 2000s, I don't think it's as good of a decade as the 90s.
It's not. Like I was going through
it's
it.
It's got some amazing movies.
It does, and we'll touch on those. Let's start with the comedies first. And Chewie, any comedies jumped out at you? I know there's a few in there we're definitely going to have to discuss, but which ones, like, just boom, off the bat?
Oh, God. Superbad is one that kind of sticks out.
I had that one.
From the 2000s.
Yeah, I had that.
Anchorman, I think, it didn't start well, but it gained a cult following.
It did. And it was a funny movie.
I thought that was a slow build for that movie.
It was.
I don't think it started out, like, big. I think when the DVD came around, I think, is when everybody picked up.
I agree. Yeah.
Like I said, it started out slow, but it built the following, and I've seen it a few times, and I find it very funny.
What do you think of Knocked Up and 40-Year-Old Virgin?
And meh.
I love Knocked Up.
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. Knocked Up. 40-Year-Old Virgin. Yeah, Steve Carell. No, that's a good movie.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Knocked Up.
That movie suffers from being crappy coming out of the blocks to being hilarious by the end of the movie.
I mean, I love 40 Virgin. It's so good. Emily, Steve Carell is genius. Yeah. But I had Paul Rudd was great, and we had obviously Seth Rogen.
Paul Rudd's in that movie too.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. He played, I think, one of his first one of his buddies.
Their back and forth though. They're back and forth. Him and Seth Rogen when they're playing that video game.
When they catch the game.
They were just. Just that, like, 5 minutes was so funny. Because it just kept getting more and more debaucherous.
You listen to Coldplay or something, whatever the case is. But that's a really good movie. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, one that I really enjoyed as well, that came out of that era.
Yes, I like that one too.
Bad Santa, I'm always a big fan of. Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty is very good.
Comedy, man.
It's a good comedy. It's worth it. I love Bad Santa.
Bad Santa is very good.
Thank you. See, Mike? See? Damn, Chewy. I see you washing dishes. Bruce Almighty.
I didn't realize it was Agree with the Real Mentor.
I'm just saying, you got to suck up to the boss if you want to be a cook, dude.
I'm not. I like the movie.
We had Bruce Almighty was good. Zombieland was one that came to mind, which I really enjoyed. It had one of the best cameos. There's actually three cameos which I want to mention at some point, and the cameo of Bill Murray in Zombieland is just fantastic. The Hangover.
My God, yes.
I mean, come on. We had one of the other best cameos, of course, Mike Tyson. You know, Satchel, Mike Tyson. I mean,
come on, the guy from that
scene. Dumbway really hit. I mean, Dumbway hit. The sequels
are
garbage.
Was huge. The sequels are all garbage.
They're garbage. But that one was so good. It was so funny. Yes. And Dumbway holds up. I've seen that fairly recently.
What do you think about the Royal Tenenbaums or Rushmore?
I'm not a huge fan. Rushmore's fine. I'm not a huge fan of. Is that Paul or Wes Anderson? I always get confused.
That's Wes Anderson. That's
I'm not a huge fan of him, to be honest with you. They're not bad ones. Just not my cup
Thomas
of tea.
Paul Anderson and Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I always get them confused.
Wes Anderson's kind of that quirky.
Yeah, thing. Of course. Oh, how can we forget
Zoolander? No, that's in the 90s.
No, Zoolander was 2000s.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, not a huge fan of that one. Shaun of the Dead, I thought was great.
Shaun of the Dead's great.
Yeah, it's a great movie. A couple other ones. I'll mention this. This is one. I got to mention this. The other best cameo besides Mike Tyson and Bill Murray was, of course, Matt Damon playing Scotty in Eurotrip. Not playing Scotty, singing the Scotty song.
Eurotrip, that's such a great movie.
Yes, it's so bad, it's amazing. It's me scoozy.
It's not a good, that's not a good
song. Dude, it's amazing, Mike, come on. Scotty doesn't know one of the greatest songs in cinematic history, as far as I'm concerned.
National Lampoon's European Vacation is way better.
Eurotrip is hilarious,
dude.
It took me off guard. I didn't even catch it in the theater. I saw it after. I'm like, dude, this movie is awesome, dude. Once Matt Damon kicked in, I'm like,
funny,
oh, this movie's real.
It is so funny.
It's amazing. It's worth it just for Matt Damon, but that movie's funny even without him, but it's so good. But the two top ones for me, one is Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
That movie's so damn good. Vince Vaughn at his peak of his powers, if you will. Was it Owen Wilson? Richard McAdams.
And Will Ferrell as their mentor.
Yeah, it was great.
The mattress salesman.
That's right.
Meatloaf! Not the mattress salesman. No. You're thinking of something else.
He was their mentor. Funerals.
Yeah, the funeral crasher.
He had graduated the funerals.
Yeah. Well, he's living at home with his mom. Mom, Meatloaf. That name is classic. The fourth best cameo in the 2000s. And the other one, I mean, surprised, no, you guys didn't mention off the bat, was Old School.
Yeah, no, Old School is fantastic.
Oh my god!
I mean, that's probably the best one of 2000.
Yeah,
I think I can easily say it's the best movie, the best comedy of 2000s.
You're My Boy Blue is one of my favorite lines from any movie of any time.
I mean, that
I use that all the time.
Luke Wilson, that one was on that one. Because Will Ferrell again, Vince Vaughn again. I mean, Vince Vaughn was hitting out of the park in that time. Earmuffs, I mean, that was classic. Earmuffs. Snoop Dogg was in that little scene. I mean, I'll say one line for later on in the show, but that movie was clearly, I think, the leader of the pack in 2000 something. That's a pretty good comedies for that era.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
No, that's a good.
Yeah,
comedy
which is
era.
Probably the last
right
because this era sucks.
Have
yeah,
been terrible,
even the late night. I think 2001 great, but it started off really good with obviously with the Wedding Crashers.
I did think Knocked Up was a decent.
It was okay.
Decent movie.
It was okay.
I, It was funny. There was a lot of funny stuff. And again, got a little too serious.
Yeah, it's John Apatow, which yeah. I like. And I think that's where his emergence. And we got the Seth Rogen.
Well, that's his wife. That's
yeah,
movie,
we got the guys who dominate now came yeah. on the air with Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
The crew, Franco and whatever. Those are the ones that kind of rose from that time period and all that. So, but yeah, it was good. And then, oh man, Sky doesn't know. I thought about that movie just cracking up. This is greatest song ever, I swear to God. But as far as talking about the actors, the best comedic actors anyway, obviously, right. I have one top dog, but Vince Vaughn's worth mentioning, of course. We talked about, you know, the movies that he was mm-hmm. in. Ben Stiller, you know, he was big in that
Ben
era.
He had
a few
movies.
Zoolander and with the parents, with the Fockers, whatever.
You know, whether you like Zoolander or you don't like Zoolander, you got to respect the fact that that movie had crap tons of cameos.
No,
that movie had David Bowie in it.
Yeah, yeah, and I like it. And it doesn't hold up, but I like it. And I like it at the time.
I think the funny holds up a little bit. There's some stuff that doesn't hold up, but it's a decent enough.
No, it's a decent one. We mentioned, of course.
Merman. Come on, that was funny.
Well, Farrell's in that too. I forgot about that. Chris Rogan, which we talked about. He did, obviously, Knocked Out, Superbad, and all that. Adam Sandler had a few hits. Again, Mike, and the one, Eye Roll. Jason Segel, of course, came about in that time as well. Jonah yes. Hill, Steve Carell is also a big name. 40 Year Virgin. He was an Anchorman as well. He was awesome in Anchorman. He was awesome in Anchorman, and he was awesome in Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, he was awesome in both of them.
It was great. Genius as far as
actually, Jim Carrey made that movie.
Jim Carrey was the man.
Bruce Almighty was a very...
Yes.
Bruce Almighty might be one of the best movies, best comedies of that era. It's really good. It's right up there with Old School, dude. You have to watch that movie. That movie is really...
No, it's really good.
That movie is, like, up there.
I love Bruce Almighty. I thought it was great. I don't think it's up there with Old School. It's a different kind of comedy.
I think it's right up there. I think it's a pretty damn entertaining movie.
No, it's good. It's good. But the top dog, this is the king of the comedy that year. It's Will Ferrell.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it
still is, actually.
I don't know if it still is, but...
No, I think if he gets him... His issue is picking good material.
That's his problem.
I saw a movie that he was in that was a small movie where he was playing a drunk, like an alcoholic or something. And it was a really good movie.
Stranger Than Fiction? Is that what we're talking
about? No, not Stranger Than Fiction. It was called Everything Must Go.
You're right. It's not bad.
It was a good movie, man. I was like, you know what? He's good at this.
It's funny because he was leading the same path that, like, you know, Murphy or even Jim Carrey did, starting with the funny, going to the more dramatic roles. But then he kind of reverted back to the comedy.
Right, because he knows what makes him money.
Yeah, but it hasn't worked. But
he's taking movies. You know what it is? Is now he's chasing the dime, okay? I think when these guys start chasing the dime, like De Niro's done the same thing.
Yeah.
Where you just start chasing money.
Well, he's 90 years old. He's earned it.
I get it. Yeah. But I'm not taking shots at De Niro. De Niro's done some crap, dude.
Yeah.
Absolute junk.
I agree. I agree with you. And so does Farrell. But Farrell gave us Elf, Old School, Wedding Crashers, Anchorman,
so
Step Brothers. I mean, Elf is great. And we didn't mention that. I think Elf
is...
Elf
is a 90s
I wasn't
movie,
a fan
right?
of Talladega Nights. I think Elf is 2000s.
Is
Elf,
it?
Yeah, Elf came past.
I like Talladega Nights, but I don't think
fan.
It's great.
It's not great. Step Brothers is better.
Step Brothers is way better.
Yeah, way better, I think.
And Step Brothers is that a 2000s too?
Yes, late 2000s.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, there are some scenes in that movie that are side-splitting.
Funny. I mean, Will Ferrell.
Hello, Miss Lady.
Yeah. Will Ferrell was great. I mean, I don't think he's good anymore, but he was really good.
Actually, you know, Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story is a very underrated comedy.
That was not bad.
I think it's underrated. I don't think it's up there with these that we're talking about, but it's funny.
That one's funny. Wasn't that what's this guy's name? Who's the partner? What's his name? Step Brothers. Not Will Ferrell, but the other guy. God damn, I can't think of
his name. Wasn't he
in Guardians
of the Galaxy?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
He was in Nova.
He was in King Kong. His name escapes me. But that guy.
That guy
with the curly hair. That guy. He was actually pretty good. He's a great supporting comedic actor.
Yeah.
Overall, it wasn't a bad era for comedy. Much better than I thought it was when I was doing research. Mm-hmm. I'll move on to one of my favorites, of course, horror, which... was vastly improved over the 90s.
Right.
I struggled to find three movies. Yeah, we had Scream and Blair Witch, which are iconic, and I get it. But man, those 2000s.
Iconic, but not great.
Yeah, exactly. But horror really improved. I mean, I have movies like 28 Days Later, Let the Right One In, the original,
the
remake.
Both of those, by the way, Let Me In and Let the Right One In, are both way better than any kind of horror movie that in the prior two decades, honestly. Both excellent. Maybe not better than Halloween.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's really, really good. And you're right, it's really underrated.
They're both excellent.
Yeah,
movies.
Absolutely. Dawn of the Dead, which I really enjoyed. The others, The Mist, which I get one of the best endings I've seen. Frailty was actually an underrated movie.
Oh, by the way, while we're talking about The Mist for a second, first two episodes of that show.
Yeah, I knew it. Swing and a miss. That was a surprise.
Like, I was like, when I should have known when I heard somebody being interviewed about the project, and I was like, they were like, we're trying to capture the essence of the movie, but we're not going to be the same. I was like, no.
No, it's not.
Next.
I did
watch it because I'm a sucker.
I didn't buy it. I wasn't buying it. And that's a surprise.
So did you see
that? A huge left, yes. but the movie was good, though. The movie is legit. Slither was another interesting one by James Gunn.
Yes.
Battle Royale. Which is really underrated. It's not one that people even know about.
I know Battle Royale.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool.
Actually, that movie has been... They've based a couple of movies after Battle Royale.
Yeah, even Hunger Games, technically speaking, to be copying in some degree, be based off that.
That's actually... I've seen that movie like 7 times.
It's so good.
That movie's amazing.
It's so good, yeah. Yes. No one knows about that movie. It's really, really good.
A lot of people know about that movie. That's a great movie.
It's great. I don't think most people out there that I know anyway, personally. But if those that haven't seen Battle Royale, do yourself a favor. It's really, really good. The Ring, the original American version came out. The Strangers, which I absolutely loved.
Yes.
I've seen that with my niece, and we fell in love with that movie. Paranormal Activity, for better or worse, that was a huge one.
I'm not a fan of that movie.
The first couple were really good.
Okay.
And I think, you know, it expanded on their handheld camera footage, whatever genre.
I don't
genre.
Like that crap. We talked about that.
Yeah, exactly. But those were really, and the Descent, which I thought might be the best one of that era, which
I agree with
really
that.
Good. Really underrated horror movie. Not many people have seen that one. It's great. I guess there's a good batch there, man. Oh, Saw's as well. The Saw franchise, for better or worse.
The first one was excellent.
The first one was great. You know, I love this. The rest of them were garbage, but the first one is great for what it was.
Yes.
You know, again, building on a low budget theme and Blumhouse Productions and introduction to James Wan, who is the man when it comes to horror movies.
He is.
He has just no question about it.
Director of Aquaman. Too,
yeah, director of Aquaman. Can't wait for that movie now. But I mean, yeah, he was the man and gave us. He came into play in the 2000s. So a lot of good stuff. Action sci-fi.
Yes.
What do you guys? Anything? Like I said, unfortunately, there wasn't as many this decade because I think it moved towards a superhero.
However,
but what jumps out for you guys?
The one that comes to mind is District 9.
Thank you. Yes.
That movie, Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah.
That movie was outstanding.
That is a killer movie.
That may be the best one of the decade, science fiction wise.
Do you consider Lord of the Rings in that genre, or would you put that?
I put in the
fantasy, right? I mean,
I put all three: action, sci-fi, fantasy. Yeah. A mix.
Because I think that
put all three in.
Yeah, of course.
I think the second movie, The Two Towers, is the best one of the three.
Yeah. Agreed.
Last one, in my opinion, is great. The first three quarters of the movie is great. The last quarter, where everybody says goodbye, I never see that again. It'll be too soon.
That should have been an extras on Blu-ray.
Right.
But Lord of the Rings was one of the greatest trilogies ever made.
All three of them.
Yeah, they're all great. No one wrong. It's not for me personally. I can't watch those movies over and over again. It's just for me personally. They're great. They don't do it for me in terms of entertainment.
The director's cut is a nice watch one time, but after that you get sick of it.
That's what I'm saying.
It was another one that in the fantasy realm, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes, I have that one as well.
That's excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
Is that more of a horror though?
I debated was horror or fantasy. I put it more towards fantasy. It had horror elements. It's fantasy.
Yeah, I thought it was fantasy. I don't think it was horror.
It wasn't horror. It had horror elements to it, but it wasn't a horror movie. At the end of the day, it's sound. And you're right, Drew. That is a great movie. Underrated. Not seen by a lot of people, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
great movie.
How about a couple of the... I think the Bourne Ultimatum is a good one.
I have those. The Bourne movies, which were for action, were really, really cool. I had Children of Men.
Children of Men's very good.
Science fiction. Very good movie.
Because we're throwing in fantasy and action adventure.
V for Vendetta.
The first Pirates of the Caribbean.
I had Pirates. The first Pirates is Dessert.
The first one. Yeah,
it was great. It was one of the top five characters of the 2000s. Am I wrong on that? Jack Sparrow. I mean, he's iconic as you can get.
Yep.
Great. Casino Royale. Awesome.
Oh, my God. Dude. The rebirth of James Bond.
Yes, exactly.
Movie,
Daniel Craig, which I absolutely love at James Bond.
Iconic. Gladiator.
Yes.
I didn't have that in action, but we can talk about
it's an action movie.
I thought it was like a drama. I don't know. I wasn't sure.
It's an action movie.
I wasn't sure. It's on the fence. But no, you're right. Gladiator is phenomenal. It's one of the best of the decade.
Yes.
There's no arguing there. Black Hawk Down.
Do you consider Prestige in this category or a drama?
A drama. I had a drama. Prestige. had a drama.
Because it's a historical.
I put it more like a drama. Fiction. I put more drama.
That was on my mind, but I wasn't sure that.
Yeah, exactly. A Crouching Tiger, I would put up there.
Yes.
Really, really good. Really well made. Man on Fire. I love that movie.
Man on Fire is excellent.
Yeah. Have you seen that one, Chewie?
No, never.
Oh, man, Denzel, it's really good, man. Denzel, what's that? Dakota Fanning, great.
In that same vein, what do you think of Hero?
I liked Hero a lot, but it wasn't.
I thought it was really good.
It's a great movie, but it's not up there with Crouching Tiger.
No, it's not.
But it's really good. It's really good.
I thought the wire work in that movie.
There's elements of Hero that I like more than Crouching Tiger.
I think there's better dramatic elements to Hero than there is to Crouching Tiger.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot more emoting and communicating in Hero.
No, I agree. The artistry in that movie, the way it's shot, filmed, it's beautiful to look at.
It's a good movie.
I wouldn't put up next to Crouching Tiger, but it's worth mentioning, absolutely, no doubt. Yeah. The first Taken, you know, which is great, you know, William Neeson, mm-hmm. he began his run of action, being an action star in his 60s, or
set of skills.
Exactly, hello. one of the greatest guys ever. I mentioned Black Hawk Down, of course. Moon is another great movie.
Duncan Jones,
and I forgot who stars in it. I forgot his name, for Christ's sake. It's a very small independent movie, but so good.
It's really good. Isn't it Sam Rockwell.
There we go. And I thought that was the second best sci-fi right behind District 9. I'll have that on my list. One. Yes.
That's our guy.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. You can't do it retrospective. I'm mentioning Tom Cruise, goddammit. And Spielberg, for that matter. And I'm really surprised. Speaking of Tom Cruise, I'll say this, Collateral, which I really, really enjoyed.
It's not the movie.
Yeah, very underrated, great movie.
I think that's one of the best movies of the decade.
It's really good.
It's a drama, though. I don't think it's an action movie.
It teetered the line. It could have gone either way, but that's a movie worth mentioning. No doubt.
How about Inglorious Bastards?
I had that later on. I have that.
Good.
I'm really surprised you get. Well, I'll mention Avatar for cinematic experience of the decade. It really was. The movie made tons of money because it was just a great cinematic experience with the 3D and all that.
That movie doesn't do anything for me. It didn't when I saw it. I was like, this was one of those movies that I went into and everybody was talking about how great it was and how you dive into another world. And I went through it and I walked out feeling like it was underwhelming. I didn't say it was bad, but I was expecting this thing to blow my.
I was expecting that
purple mist come out of my.
I think
head.
It just got hyped, and it was more because overhyped. The technical achievement of the movie had and the presentation.
No, that is true.
That reason, it was a movie you had to see in the big screen. I mean, for whatever that's worth.
I'm with Mike. I haven't seen that movie since the theater, and have no. I'm not interested in the sequels either.
I'm just saying as far as the cinematic going experience, that one gave us something great to see on the big screen. That's all I'm saying. I'm surprised none of you guys, being big fan, I'm not a fan of this. I know you guys are. You guys don't mention Harry Potter?
Actually, I was just going to say. Prisoner of Azkaban.
Hello.
Deserves to be mentioned here.
Because the first one was okay. Honestly, but the 2 and 3 were much better movies.
Three is the best movie, period, of all 7. Prisoner of Azkaban is a great movie.
I hear that. True. What do you think? You're a big Harry Potter fan.
It is great.
No, I mean, as far as the movie itself, yes, but I tend to like watching 4 and 5 more than 3.
I'm sorry, 5 and 6. Ability of the movie.
And then the Half-Blood Prince.
The hidden meanings in the movie. Cuarón was friggin' fantastic as a director of that movie. Uh-huh. The characters that they introduced in that movie. First of all, I'm a huge Oldham fan. It's my thing that I was so happy that he was in this series, and I was so happy that he got to play that character because it was
such a small part. I wanted more.
Right, I did too. But you know what? I thought he was good. He was good in every one of the movies he was in, all the way up until he died.
Spoiler, sorry, guys.
They all die at them. Harry Potter. But you're right. Those are worth me. I know you guys are big fans. I just never got it. It was not for me. I'm not saying it's bad. It just wasn't for me.
I think that Azkaban's more noteworthy than the rest. Just my opinion.
You guys will know more than I do. But I think Chewie, you agree with me, and Mike, that District 9 was the best of the decade.
Here's a movie that doesn't.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
We're talking sci-fi and action and story.
Yeah.
Here's a movie.
And visuals. And, I mean, yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I figured. That's the one that jumped out of my head. It's like, yeah, that's the
Here's a movie when it came out. I loved it, and it was groundbreaking for the time that it came out. But now, in retrospect, it's unwatchable to me. Sin City. It was a great movie when it came out.
I liked it, and it doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up at all.
Yeah.
It's really bad. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, I liked it at the time, and it was cool. It looked nice.
But it's not a good movie.
It's not. It doesn't hold up. And I would say I've seen it recently, but last time I saw it, I was like, damn, I like this? Okay, whatever. Move on to animation, which, of course, this is an easy one because this is really dominated by by Pixar.
Right.
I mean, you can name any Pixar movie as your favorite.
Except
one.
Except Shrek,
not
maybe, right?
Well, not Pixar. I have Shrek 1 and 2. I thought it was really good. Shrek is funny. He's a great character. Mike Myers knocks out of the park. Chance of Meatballs. I really like that movie.
It's okay.
Kung Fu Panda. Really
pretty
good.
Decent.
I liked it a lot. Polar Express.
Yeah, that's very good.
It's very good. Yeah. Chicken Run. Chicken Run, I like.
Very good.
Chicken Run. Mel Gibson at his best.
Need more thrust.
I mean, yeah, great movie. I love that movie. Coraline's another one my people haven't seen.
Fantastic that was Mr.
Really
Fox
good.
Is another
Mr.
one.
Mr. Fox,
like that,
was that that deck?
Yeah, it is.
It is that deck. Yeah, another one. Spirited Away, an anime, was really, really good. And one that criminally unseen. But yeah, those are the ones, the notable ones that are outside the Pixar. But
I
Pixar,
guess you'd put Ponyo in that too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, you're right, I would. But
Pixar just dominated that
space.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Nemo, Incredibles, Wall-E, Monsters, Inc., Ratatouille.
Look, I'm going to tell you, Up right now might be the best one of the group. Up is pretty damn good. Up is a movie that you better bring box of Kleenex to.
Up had probably, not just in the 90s or 2000s, but ever.
That's a movie like Schindler's List that I can't watch again because it's
emotional. But I think it had.
It's an emotional friggin' movie.
It was probably the best.
That beginning, dude. I mean, you
that's what I'm saying.
It rips your heart out of your chest.
It might be the best beginning of any. One of the. Well, not the best. I mean, I always state it. But one of the best ever as far as openings
of any movie, animated
or not. If you're not hit by that in the first 10 minutes, get the fuck out. Just get out.
Right. If that doesn't shoot you right in the face.
Yeah. I mean, you're cold as ice.
Yeah, right.
Get out. Don't speak to me ever again.
Right. You're a serial killer.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer, for Christ's sake. Charles Manson. It hits everybody, and it's the best opening for me personally. I like The Incredibles was for me the best animated movie.
I love it too.
Incredibles is so good.
I think as far as quality of movies goes, I think Up is better. I think Wall-E is excellent.
I love Wall-E.
Wall-E is excellent.
Wall-E.
I really feel like they missed the boat with Wall-E because I think they could have marketed this better to kids. They could have made a whole toy series out of this. They could have made extra movie. I'm telling you, they could have made more movies. They could have done all this stuff, and they blew it. I really think that movie had money all over it, and I know it made money, but that movie had potential.
It was a great movie, and I want to shortchange Nemo either. Nemo was fantastic.
Keep swimming.
I mean,
as much as I don't like Ellen DeGeneres,
she was great. But I mean, we don't do Pixar, no joke.
Yeah,
there were no joke in that.
They weren't playing.
I mean, they were just knocking it. With Cars notwithstanding, everything else was knocking out of the park in that decade.
But Cars made a ton of money.
As far as quality, I don't think it was near as good as any of those other movies that we. Monsters, Inc. is great.
Right.
I mean, they were on a roll, man. Right. Amazing. Let's move on to the drama sections and dramas, thrillers, whatever. A lot of good stuff here, man. One of our personal favorites is in here, but you know, we mentioned the Prestige earlier, Mike. Of course,
right.
You know, Nolan.
Yeah, sorry, I believe
No, it's great. Yes,
wait, if you throw in Prestige, you got to mention Memento, dude.
Of course,
both excellent.
I have them both on Memento is. Just brilliant
Memento's
filmmaking.
One of my favorite movies of all time. It's still very good. It holds up.
I saw it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I saw it. It's so good. Just it grips you from the beginning. And that one, you just so it's hard not to want to know what's going on in the film, and it's confusing, but yet it makes sense at the same time.
How about Zodiac? Yeah. Fincher.
Zodiac is a good movie. Zodiac is a good movie. Old Boy.
Yeah.
The greatest revenge movie ever made. Period. Yes. It's not even close. It's just not even close.
And that remake.
Oh, hold up.
Spike,
yes.
Spike.
F Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Talking about the original Old Boy,
yes.
The Korean
beautiful.
Version is so.
It's a beautifully
good.
Shot movie.
Oh my god,
amazing.
It's amazing. That ending. Jesus, if you're not
and by the way, kids,
if you're not disturbed by that movie,
it's on Netflix right now.
Yeah, you are. You team up the guy who didn't cry with Up because that movie is disturbing. If you're not disturbed by the way,
we're gonna put all these people in a room. Put them in a room and claw their way out.
Jesus, like Battle Royale after that. Snatch.
Wrecking for a Dream.
Yeah. Snatch.
Oh my God, that's great.
Come on, that Turkish.
2 minutes.
Movie is so good. So good. I'll put in Pan's Labyrinth. I know we talked about that earlier.
What about the Jim Carrey Eternal Sunshine?
Yes.
Oh, that was. You know, dude, that's
one of my personal favorites of all time. Yeah, that's in my top 10 of all time. I just love that one.
Honestly, that's right up there with the Truman Show. And you know, I'm not a Jim Carrey guy. Truman Show to me is right up. I mean, I know that that's a 90s movie, but that movie is so good and so prophetic and amazing. Eternal Sunshine is equally prophetic and
great movie.
Actually,
God, so good.
We talked about that movie when we were working at GameStop together.
And
we both were like almost like brought to tears just talking about that movie.
It was so good. I mean, I was so impressed. Yeah. I was like, man, that movie is no joke. I actually love that movie and it holds up beautifully now. Gladiator.
No Country for Old Men.
That one to me is a little overrated. I wasn't a big fan of that movie, to be honest with you.
I think that movie is pretty good. I think that Bardem made that movie. I think the rest of the movie isn't that good. I think every he was just chewing scenery in that movie and just he took that movie and made it his own. He dragged that movie across the finish line. It was a good movie, but it wasn't a great movie.
I agree. I know people love it. I get it. I'm not saying it's bad, but I get it.
I love the movie. I just think another movie that I love that's a drama is The Wrestler.
I have that on here.
That movie is amazing.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei.
Excellent movie. Yes.
Say what you want about wrestling itself, but that movie is a wonderful movie. That movie does so many things. That movie leaves a wide open ending at the end where you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It's just a really good film. It's real, it's gritty.
Yes.
And kind of shows you the other side, you know, the downside, and you know, you see the stuff on WWF or E or whatever, and the glory and the famous, and then you see this is the other side, you know, that no one sees.
This is what happens to guys that make the money, blow the money, and end up having to pick up $75 a night gigs living in your van.
And that happens not just in wrestling, but a lot of sports gigs too. It's relatable to a lot of different things.
They're chasing that feeling.
Exactly. And Mickey Rourke is fantastic.
The adoration of the crowd.
I really felt like he was jobbed in that Oscars.
He should have won Best Actor.
He should have won Best Actor.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That movie was so much better than anything else that was up that year. How about Black Swan, by the way? Is that in the 2000s? Is that 2010?
Yeah, 2010. Yeah, 2010. Okay. Yeah, but good
movie. We haven't
mentioned The Departed.
I was just about to mention that.
That's a great movie. That's right up there, too.
That was next on my list. You're right.
Speaking of an ensemble cast, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, man.
Yeah, too many great movies.
Matt Damon, Wahlberg, who was really good.
Matt Damon,
so good.
Anthony Anderson, Leo.
Leo. Yeah, that was a great cast, great movie. That was one of probably the most unexpected scene of that decade was when DiCaprio got shot. Didn't see that coming at all.
Speaking of Leo, Catch Me If You Can.
It's a good movie. Yeah. I like that movie a lot. I have Beautiful Mind up there.
It's
fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. It's okay. That's a little slow for me.
It's slow, but it's really good. $1 Million Baby, I actually love that movie.
How about Michael Clayton?
Nah,
I liked
not
it.
For me.
I thought it was good.
Not for me.
I actually liked the movie a lot, man. I'm with you, Mike. I mean, I enjoyed that movie. I mean, it was one of his better movies.
Actually,
it was one of his better movies. I'll give you that.
Actually, that TV show with Liev Schreiber is actually, I think they kind of stole the storyline.
Ray Donovan. Yeah.
They kind of stole that storyline from Michael Clayton, my opinion, of course.
Yeah, we never got into it.
How about A History of Violence?
Good movie.
I like it a lot.
Good movie. Yeah. Almost Famous.
Right.
It's another worth mentioning.
Are we going to talk about Inglourious Basterds? Are we going to talk about Tarantino because he had quite a few,
but we'll talk about Tarantino. Yeah, Tarantino. But Inglourious Basterds, I thought, had another great opening sequence. And when he's talking to the farmer, so good.
Good. There's so much pulse pounding crap in that movie.
Oh man,
it's just the bear Jew, man.
Right. It's just one of those things. Hey, speaking of Clooney, Up in the Air is a very good
movie. Good movie.
I think it's pretty good.
It's good movie. And now I also had like, I think that's all I have for, as far as the ones that stood out for me. As far, I mean, I guess there's a lot of good stuff here, man. In terms of, let's get into this. As far as the actors, I do have a top dog here in mind, a clear top dog, but guys worth mentioning in the 90s, and we'll get to the women in a second. DiCaprio.
Yes.
Of course, he had. Yeah, he was huge. Man. He was huge.
How many movies was he in 2000? Jesus.
I mean, he had a bunch. After I look him up, but he had a bunch in that era. We also have Christian Bale.
Yes.
Who really came up? Not just besides Batman, he had all the great things. The Mechanic, it was really good. The Prestige,
right?
So he had a lot of good stuff. I had Mark Wahlberg actually did well during that era as well.
You can't forget about Sean Penn, who had Mystic River and Into the Wild, which are both fantastic movies. Not to mention a couple other ones, not cameos, but smaller roles that he had nice movies.
He was really good. Matt Damon. Was really good in that era.
Of course, man.
He was great in that era, actually. Johnny Depp, he had his movies in that time frame. I gotta mention Daniel Day-Lewis because he's Daniel Day-Lewis. Can't forget Ed Norton. Ed Norton was big in that era. He gave us a lot. American History X. Yep. It's another good movie.
You didn't mention that movie.
No. Was that 90s?
It might have been 90s. American History X is
2000s. Okay, maybe you're right. Yeah, you might be right. But that's a.
Let's go back. That one deserves me.
How about
he's great. Rounders. He was in Rounders and all that.
Check.
Hugh Jackman had a couple. He was in The Prestige. But
he's coming up.
Say what you want about Moulin Rouge, but that movie was huge.
That's a good movie. That movie made a lot of money. I did, just real quick on DiCaprio, man, he really hit big. He had Gangs of New York, Catch Me If You Can, The Aviator, The Departed, Blood Diamond, Revolutionary Road, underrated.
I hated that.
Gangs of New York, yeah. So he hit big. Brad Pitt, Clooney, of course. We mentioned those guys. Those are obviously worth mentioning. Denzel Washington was big in that year with Training Day and Man on Fire and Inside Man. A great movie.
What was the movie? Was it Deja Vu or?
Deja Vu,
That's okay.
It was good. It was good. It was a good movie.
Inside Man, though, was very good.
Actually, he was,
Inside Man, dude. Yeah.
Denzel was hitting.
Denzel was hitting him, man.
But the top dog, I don't think there's any question, is Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in that?
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, Gladiator. It was phenomenal, Gladiator. I love Maximus. 3:10 of Yuma, Cinderella Man, Beautiful Mind, Master and Commander. He was killing it in that.
Cinderella Man was a huge movie, and we didn't even talk about that movie. That movie was great. Paul Giamatti's really in that movie, too.
No, really good. Underrated movie. Yeah, it was one of Ron Howard's better movies. But, man, Russell Crowe was just killing it, man. Damn, he was amazing. He was Tom Hanks-esque in that era. He was what basically Tom Hanks was to the 90s. He was to 2000s, as far as I'm concerned. Actresses, I kind of struggle here. I mean, Scarlett Johansson, up and coming in that era. Charlize Theron, she hit a big good Monster.
Yeah, Monster was.
There was like most of the ones I'm going to mention had like one or two big movies, but they didn't sustain it much. Jolie, Girl Interrupted, but she didn't have that sustainability. Kate Winslet, The Reader, but she didn't hit a lot of big movies. Sandra Bullock was good. She won for. What's the one? The football player?
She made
player?
A lot of money. That's the Left Side.
The Blind Side. Blind Side. You got to mention Julia because, she does what she does. Nicole Kidman, she came up.
Oh, yeah. I think the top 90s,
I think she represented the 90s and she hit big. She became America's darling, was Reese Witherspoon. During that time? She hit it big. I mean, I didn't like her movies, but she was popular.
Was a pretty big movie, and Kate Hudson made a lot of movies.
No, she did. But it wasn't. No one really stood out. Like, each one, even though went back to the Oscars, it was a different person every time. I mean, you got to mention Meryl Streep because it's Meryl Streep. And who are we kidding? But representing the era, I couldn't think of anybody else but Reese Witherspoon, I mean, for whatever that's worth. Finish up with directors, man. There's some good guys in here.
Christopher Nolan's got to be first.
No, it's got to be Nolan.
Nolan's the top dog. There's not even a question. There's not even a debate. There's no argument.
I'm thinking sure.
No. We start and end with Nolan because he was the man. He's still the man, but he came out with Memento. Then he came with Insomnia, which is really underrated. Hit the Batman Begins, which is amazing. Dark Knight, one of the best of the decade. Yes. The Prestige is ridiculous. I mean, he was, and then that's what he had that decade. He continued on after that. But talking about, dude, every movie just hits it. I mean, talking about out of those five or six I mentioned, Dark Knight, classic, Memento, classic. Prestige classic, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's so good, and he was killing it.
And early reviews on Dunkirk, man.
Oh man, I
can't. Another home run.
I'm gonna go see it on Monday. I'm so excited.
I don't think that American audiences are gonna buy into it. I want to see it. I think it's gonna be fantastic.
I can't wait. I heard the things they're saying, man. I'm watching IMAX. I can't wait to see that. I'm seeing that on Monday, so I'm super excited.
You know, if it's a great movie. It ain't gonna matter, dude.
No, I agree. It's great. I shouldn't be surprised. Just Nolan, he hasn't failed for me yet. I don't think. And obviously, from what I'm hearing, he's not failing this one. I can't wait. I mean, he's just so good. He's the top dog in 2000s. The top dog currently, as far as I'm concerned. And he's on his way to becoming one of the best of all time. You know what? I'll equate him to LeBron James. Like, I don't know. He's not quite Jordan. He's not Spielberg yet. He's not Spielberg, but he really is. He's getting those championships, MVPs, you name it, whatever.
Keep accumulating.
I think it's a matter of time if he wins that World Deserve Oscar. He needs to get it at some point. But there was all the guys. Peter Jackson, of course, what he did at Lord of the Rings was phenomenal.
Yes.
Scorsese hit it big with The Departing, Gangs of New York. He's always good. David Fincher hit it big. Eastwood is another guy who actually, surprisingly, hit it big, man.
Letters from Iwo Jima.
Million Dollar Baby, right. Oscar winning.
How did we forget about that movie? That movie was great.
It's great. Mystic River, we mentioned. So he was hitting it big. Soderbergh hit it big in that time. It was the Ocean's movies. And I forgot what else he did. Ridley Scott, he hit it. He was, before he crapped down there in 2010s. Darren Aronofsky, of course, you know, with movies like The Wrestler. Wow, and, you know,
That's The Wrestler and friggin' Requiem for a Dream.
Great movies. Spielberg,
actually, The Fountain is a very underrated movie.
Hey, man, I'm one of the ones that I'm on the wrong side of that. I wasn't a big fan of it. I know a lot of people are, and I get it, but
I think it's a real good movie.
It ain't do it for me. It just,
I understand why it wasn't critically acclaimed. Yeah. I get that, but I felt like it was an interesting movie.
No, I did. Del Toro was good in that era as well. Guillermo del Toro.
Still is.
Tarantino. excuse me.
Oh, man.
When did Hellboy come out, dude?
That was the 2000s. Tarantino, he had Inglourious Basterds, of course. Yeah.
Tarantino had a big,
I wasn't a big fan of Kill Bill, admittedly. I know a lot of people were, so I get it.
I am.
One and two.
The first one is great. I think the first one's wonderful. The second one is okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my personal thing. But I know people like it, and I get it. But he's always worth mentioning up there, of course. He's great and all that. And there's actually some good news about him. We'll talk about next week and about Tarantino's next project. But those are the big dogs. Those are the ones.
Is he going to make a five-hour movie this time?
He could, based on the topic he's choosing. It's very possible. Lord. But it's a really good topic. We'll jump into that next week. It's Tarantino. He's worth discussing every time he makes a movie.
Because as much as I like The Hateful Eight, that movie was way too freaking long.
It was long, but it was a good movie, though. I'm not hating.
Very self-indulgent.
That's going to be an interesting topic next week with the topic he chose. Look it up so we're ready for that conversation next week.
I'm ready for that. I'm already ready for that conversation.
Save it for next week,
but that's going to be interesting.
We're running over.
His take on it. But let's finish off as we always do with the iconic moments of 2000s.
Right.
Not quite as good as the last two decades, but I have the Spider-Man kiss, upside down kiss.
Yes,
that's a visual. You know, these are the moments that again that represent the era. The ones that they show in all the montages that people know.
A redhead, by the way.
I hated her in that movie, but either way, the fight in the war room and the crouching tiger was phenomenal with the weapons with the two girls. Like, I forget their names. The singing the Tiny Dancer in Almost Famous on the bus. Great scene. Mm-hmm. Really good scene. I drink your milkshake.
Yes,
you know, one of the best quotes. Speaking of quotes, we're going streaking. Of course, Will Ferrell and old school.
Streaking through the quad.
I mean, it's classic.
Come on. Also,
you're my boy, Blue. And Ian Rose off in the same way. Those are all worth mentioning. I had, of course, you know, mention Lord of the Rings, My Precious, of course. Yes. You got it. Gollum.
My precious.
Are You Not Entertained? Because of Gladiator, of course. Maximus. The beginning scene of Up, which we talked about. At the end of Saw, Jigsaw getting up. It was just fantastic.
Oh, God,
so good. The Dark Knight intro, Joker intro. Yeah. Fantastic.
There's just so many. That scene in the bank is great. Just so great.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. Anything with Joker was
just
great.
Just acing everybody. Yeah. So that entire movie was like Heath Ledger's just resume. Honestly, yeah. It's such a good.
It's a shame that he didn't last pass it, but he's so good. The crazy 88 fight in Kill Bill. I did like that, despite what I thought about the movie. The hallway scene in Hellboy.
Yes.
Amazing. Just a one shot frame. It almost looked like a comic book going across. It was so well done. And Spike Lee did no justice to that scene.
Don't even go there.
Damn bastard. Speaking of Spike Lee, I'll give him credit. It's a movie that not many people know about, 25th Hour. But that was out with Ed Norton. There's this monologue scene that he has. He's talking to himself in the mirror, which is brilliant, brilliantly done. Great acting. Of course, the farmhouse scene in Glorious Bastards, the intro, the coin toss.
Yes.
Bardem, of course, in No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
The intro of Jack Sparrow.
Yep.
You know, that was a really cool intro to a great character. And of course, Miss Scoozy, I have to throw it out there because it's your trip. Sky doesn't know, damn it. Sky does not know.
How about this one?
I wish I had that song, man. I wish I had that song. Hold on. Which one, Mike?
Why are you all sweaty? I was watching Cops.
Cops. I remember that. So let's make the rounds here. That's what we have. Mike, we'll start with you. What do we got, man?
Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to my boys in Barber Floyd who supply us with our wonderful intro and outro music. I know you guys like it as much as I do.
I love that song, yeah.
They got a show coming up on Saturday in Deerfield Beach. Don't ask me where it is. Sorry, dude. but it is in Deerfield Beach.
Nice shout out, Mike. Nice.
Yeah, I'm
the worst promoter ever.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not
with that place at that time.
Yeah. The time.
Those are the guys from that thing.
At least it's I gave a small town, not like Miami. They're playing in Miami, everybody.
Yeah, they're gonna be playing in the United States somewhere, guys. Yeah. You know?
Somewhere in South Florida. Yeah. Check them out.
I do want to give up.
Maybe Magic City Casino. Maybe,
No Magic City Casino. We don't listen. It's not the former singer from Journey, and I'm not talking about Steve Perry either. I heard that the other day, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Hold on one second. This is gonna be for Chewy, dude. Hold on, I gotta find it now. I don't think you're gonna hear it though. You're gonna hear it on the show though. Trust me. I had to play it for you. You're gonna hear it when you play it back. Chewy, what do you got, man?
No, man. Like, thank you for letting me make the pastries or do the dishes, whatever.
Actually, I think we promoted you to front of the house.
Calm down. It's, someone has to clean the toilets, bro. I don't care.
Man, he's the main. You know,
George ain't around, so hey, Pikachu went with him. So you know what the hell.
Yeah. Obviously, a shout-out to my wife and my kids. We are definitely 7 days away from Comic-Con. I'm like Giddy's a schoolboy.
That's true,
and,
of course.
So excited to see the panels and all the geekdom and movies and stuff. I'm just, and obviously, the best part is taking my son, who's turning 13 today.
The teenage years have begun.
Right. Good luck to you, Pally.
The voice, the hair, the changes, all that good stuff.
Now the fun begins for you. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Find you a good deodorant, Pally.
Yeah, for real.
Thanks for the advice.
You can sit with him now and watch your trip together. Right. That's always a good thing.
There you go.
A classic father-son activity. So that's all I got. So again, obviously, check us out next week. I always like to mention, I forgot to plug the Facebook page. Goes out. You guys go on there. We put my reviews go up on there. We put the trailer, stuff like that. And the shows obviously go on there.
Don't forget to plug girlslife.com.
And of course, the girlslife.com studios, you know. You're best in apparel in any season in holiday. What's holidays coming? What's the next big holiday?
I don't know, but we're
did you do
Prime
Labor Day special or something?
Prime
or?
Day, we killed it, man. Prime Day
was a beast of a day, man. Jeez. I almost bought something. I should have.
I did. I bought an air mattress.
I was going to buy something, but I was like, whatever. But either way.
Hey, they had a $6 video game sale that they glitched on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have to sell them now.
What game was that?
A bunch of games.
Oh,
dude.
Really? Oh, yeah, man, I missed that.
They screwed that up.
Damn, I'm taking the GameStop, getting $10 for them. What are they money?
That's right.
But either way, so that's all the time we got. We appreciate you guys listening. Feedback is always welcome. Don't forget to check out the movie reviews. We got Apes coming out. Fantastic. Dunkirk, I'm watching it on Monday. I'll drop the review on Facebook Monday night. I got to see if there's an embargo. I'm not sure. And then Atomic Blonde, another one I think you guys should recommend definitely watching. But either way, that's all we have. We'll see you guys next week.